Pastor Greg's been leading us through a series of messages on Jeremiah 29 of Planted for Purpose. Work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray for it, for in its welfare will determine your welfare. And how we're supposed to be a blessing to our region, to our area, to our family groups. Acts 18, yesterday morning the Lord woke me up by my dog. Anybody been woken up by the Lord through your dog? Or maybe you don't think it's the Lord, but it's your dog. The Lord dropped this passage of scripture in my heart. It's 50 to 52 BC, or AD, approximately 20 years after the resurrection. So the church has been, since Pentecost, 20 years old. And Paul's on a second missionary journey. It starts in Acts 16. It's where there's a division between him and Barnabas. It says there was a sharp disagreement. The Greek's very clear. It was nasty. Paul and Barnabas had a nasty disagreement. So when you have a nasty disagreement in your church, sometimes it's God. Okay? I just thought I'd let you know that. And so, you know, we all want this peace and prosperity, but sometimes it comes by people having disagreements and working them out. But Paul, later on, it was over John Mark being a mama's boy and going back home. And later on in Paul's life, he says, I want John Mark back. Bring him because he's profitable to me. He's going to be a benefit to the ministry. So there was reconciliation. It's not enough to have a disagreement. Let's have reconciliation too, okay? But sometimes the reconciliation has to come because we've had disagreements. You know, reconciliation doesn't happen between two people that don't have disagreements. And it's always the one that's offended reaching to the offender. That's true reconciliation. That's a side note. Paul's second missionary journey goes through Macedonia, has the vision. He tries to take the gospel into Asia. God gives him the Macedonian vision. He goes across the sea and goes into modern-day Greece. And what happens is he establishes churches by the name of Philippi. And Thessalonica. Have you ever heard of those? Yeah. He had the Bereans check, make sure he was doing what God told him to and speaking the scripture. So if you have your scripture out, please check me out and make sure I'm doing okay. And then he goes to Athens. And at Athens, he's rejected. The gospel really doesn't have a foothold in Athens because of its intellect, thinking they're smarter than God. It's fine until you talk about raising someone from the dead. He faces prison, persecution, and rejection, but God establishes a kingdom. Prison, persecution, and rejection, yet God establishes the kingdom, and now he's in Corinth. Paul left Athens after he was rejected. He went to Corinth in verse 1 of chapter 18, and he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila who was born in Pontus, which is on the Black Sea. And recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all the Jews from Rome. Jews have always been persecuted. Normally, what we see now in modern day, when you see Jews persecuted, Christians are with them. A monotheistic God is not a popular term. And so they are persecuted. Paul lived and worked among them, for they were tent makers as he was. Each Sabbath, Paul found Paul at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews and Greeks alike. After Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all of his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, "Your blood is on your own hands. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go preach to the Gentiles." I heard a messianic Jewish rabbi once say that it's not wiping the dust off your boots is not in disgust or flipping somebody off. That's not the idea. It's the idea of, I'm not going to carry this to my next assignment. I'm not going to carry the offense that you gave me into my next assignment, because what's going to happen is it's going to affect my next assignment. So he shakes the dust off, but he does say, the blood's on your own hands. In other words, you have to deal with the consequences of your choices. And he went to the home of Titus Justus, a Gentile who worshipped God and lived next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed, and many others in Corinth also heard Paul and became believers, and they were baptized. Verse 9 is the key. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many people that belong to me in this city. There are a lot of people that you work with, a lot of people that you rub shoulders with in this city that don't know they're pre-believers. We always call them unbelievers or non-believers, but they're pre-believers, just like you and I were pre-believers at one time. People that are ordained by God to hear the gospel through you and I that will then hear the gospel and become from pre-believers to a believer, an understanding. Paul says, God tells Paul, there are many people in this city. There's many people in northern Colorado that need Vintage. There are many people in northern Colorado that need your voice. There are many people in northern Colorado that need the church. And I'm talking about the Baptists, Nazarene, Episcopalians, Catholics, all of them. All of them. We're all in this together. So Paul stayed there for the next 18 months and preached the gospel and established a church in Corinth. Two places he stayed more than a few months. He stayed in Ephesus for 2 years, taught at the school of Tyrannus, and he spent 18 months, a year and a half, in Corinth. How to be a blessing, how to seek the peace and the prosperity of this city is what I want to talk to you about. The first thing we've got to realize is we cannot let our historical perspective cloud an understanding of God's intention now and in the future. Deportation, rejection, persecution, imprisonment. Priscilla and Aquila became powerful people in the kingdom, but they were deported. They were kicked out of where they were doing business. Paul was rejected. He was persecuted. He was imprisoned. We have an ongoing pandemic. We have political tensions. We have racial unrest. We have uncertainty about the future. I've had people say, I don't know if I want to have a child or my kids to have kids because this world is so evil. You don't know world history if you think this world is so evil. The world has been a lot more wicked, a lot more evil. And the fact is, the kingdom of God, he tells the Jews in Babylon, plant gardens, build homes, have kids, marry your kids off, have grandkids. By the way, having grandkids is the most awesome thing in the entire world. But anyway, it is. It's incredible. There's nothing like it in the entire world. And you will understand one day if you don't even have kids. You're going to understand one day when you have kids that have kids. It's so cool. But anyway, 4 soccer games and a baseball game this weekend, and it was cool. 4 soccer games and 1 baseball game this afternoon. It's cool. We need to know what the Father says about our region no matter what we feel or sense. No matter what we think the future holds, we've got to understand we cannot let what happened to us back there affect us where we're going there. Paul didn't allow his history, his imprisonment. You know, you think he enjoyed being in prison and beaten to death almost in Philippi? You think he enjoyed standing up and saying to the unknown God, let me tell you about the real God, and he got rejected? You think that was fun? Remember, this is Corinth. There's not a church here yet. And this is Corinth that was a mess, even when there was a church there. There was a guy sleeping with a stepmom. That's weird. That's nasty. That's wrong. And Paul says, kick him out. He shouldn't be doing that. What is being done amongst you is not even done in pagan households. But then later on, he says, the brothers repented, bring him back in. They were getting drunk with the communion. They were doing all sorts of things, speaking in tongues over the speaker. It was a mess. The second thing, there needs to be a willing to do whatever it takes to see the gospel promoted. Paul was a tent maker by trade. It says that he found Priscilla and Aquila, who had been kicked out of Rome, now living in Corinth. He found them and lived with them. The Apostle Paul needed a place to stay. And then he was willing to be a tent maker while he's promoting the gospel. I've had people think, I can't do that. That's beneath me. I can't do that. I can't do that. You don't know who I am. I don't really care. In the sense of, you've got to be able and I've got to be able to do whatever it takes to see the gospel promoted. Because what happens is when Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia, because they went with him when he had the original vision to go to Macedonia, when they come, they in turn, it's obvious by the text, they in turn give Paul the resources so that he can devote himself fully to the gospel. I hate the term full-time ministry because it's like being a little pregnant. You know, I mean, it's like you're pregnant, ladies, you're pregnant, right? You know that. And sometimes I wish I would show. Because I am pregnant. That's why I'm so sick. But then pretty soon you're so big, you're like, I wish I would have this baby, correct? At least that's the way I've experienced it. But the fact is, we've got to understand whatever it takes to see the gospel promoted, whatever. We would be willing to do it. If God asks us to do something, we should say, "Here, O Lord, am I, send me." And I mean that. And you can tell somebody if they're called for the gospel, how they're willing to work for whatever it takes to get the gospel out. A spirit of unity and cooperation. God wants us to realize that there is an entrepreneurial anointing. Pastor Greg's going to talk about it in the weeks to come. God wants to release people in all aspects so that we can see this city influenced. Because what's done on Sunday morning is just a shot in the arm. It's the filling station to get you going. It's not the end of all things. It's only the beginning. What you do Monday through Saturday really counts. Had a very good friend of mine. Of course, he would embarrass the daylights out of even a restaurant because he'd stand up and pray over his meal real loud. He was this Pentecostal preacher. Brother Marvin, man, he was wild. Never wanted to go out to eat with him, but I did love him. Because it's like, dude, come on. You know, you're grossing me out and everybody around us. But he used to say this to me all the time, "Gary, I don't care." He'd use a baseball analogy. "Gary, I don't care who's up the bat as long as the runs get in. I don't care who's up the bat as long as we get some runs across the plate." And that should be our heart. The third thing is this. We need, and I want to camp here for a minute, if I can. We need to pray for people of influence. And I'm not talking about just well-known, prestigious, wealthy people. I'm not talking about Instagram. I'm not talking about having 18 million followers. I don't care. But if people are following, that means they're influencing in one way or another. It may be your kid's baseball coach. It may be your school, his school or her school teacher. It may be somebody in your neighborhood. That is, people. If people are following, who do you follow? Who are you following? If you're following somebody, they're an influencer. Find people that are influencers and begin to pray for them. It is amazing to me that we don't pray for influencers. We curse them a lot. We complain about our influencers. But the church needs to be people that are willing to pray for influencers. Do you realize Crispus became a Christian and it had an effect on that city? The synagogue leader became a Christian and it affected that. I guarantee that synagogue was affected. We need to ask God, who has he laid on our heart? By the way, some of the people that you will rub shoulders with, I don't even know their names. But you know their names. The president of your corporation. Your boss. If somebody is following somebody, pray for that somebody. God just recently laid something on my heart. We are a college town. We have CSU in our midst. Do we curse that university and complain about the liberal stuff that is being taught? Or can we take the president of that university before the Lord on a daily basis and say, "God, touch her heart so that she in turn can touch others"? Do you realize there are 9 governors that are elect, that are appointed, and another 6 that are then appointed by those? There are governors. We don't have regents in our university. Find out their names. Write it down. Pray for them. Find out who the mayor is. Find out who the police chief is. Find out who the sheriff is. Find out people who are influencing. Instead of cursing people, let's begin to pray for people. Let's begin to bless our city. Let's begin to ask God to do something instead of saying, I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe mask mandates are coming back. I can't believe we have to be vaccinated. I frankly don't care. Because it's not that is going to stop the move of the gospel. Do we understand that? Now, I may have an opinion. And you know what opinions are like. Yeah, everybody has one. Just because I have an opinion doesn't make my opinion right. I read a passage of scripture in Amos chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. It's amazing to me. I had to stop and go, wait a minute. Those who are wise or those who are smart keep their mouth shut because it is a time of evil. And I thought, Lord, I thought we were supposed to speak up in times of evil. He says you are. But some people are speaking up before they've heard my voice. Some people are speaking up before they ponder what they're going to say. How many of you is getting ready on Facebook, getting ready on Instagram, getting ready on somebody's email? You're just about ready to type something. God says, don't you go there. Right? Nobody but me? Wouldn't it be awesome if the church waited before they spoke, heard God, still had a voice, still willing to speak, but would hear God first and then speak? I think it would be a big difference. So many times we speak immediately what comes to our mind. Sometimes what comes to our mind is not filtered through the Holy Spirit. Right? God has laid this president and these governors of CSU upon my heart. And I am purposing to lay them before the Lord on a daily basis and name them by name. How many have ever heard of the Seven Mountain Strategy? The Seven Mountain Strategy are seven places in our society of influence. And I think the church has heard that teaching and some of us have, and understood it and done it correctly. Others have thought, we're going to rule. Yeah, we're going to rule. You know, when Israel wanted a king, it turned out real good for him, didn't it? He said, God, they said, we don't want the theocracy. We don't want God ruling us. We want a man ruling us. And the prophet Samuel came to him and said, you know what a king's going to do? He's going to take everything that belongs to me, and you're not going to be blessed because you can no longer give it to me. He's going to take your firstborn. He's going to take the best of your land. He's going to take a 10% of all your produce. And we want a king. God, give us a king. Give us somebody in Washington that's a king. Give us somebody that can rule and reign righteously. I believe righteousness exalts a nation. But sometimes people get people they deserve. No, it's a biblical principle. Over and over in the book of Judges, they got people they deserve. Sometimes we get who we deserve, and we then complain about who we deserve instead of going to the Lord and saying, God, change the hearts of people so that we can get a king or a president or leadership that is no longer what we deserve, but what you want for us. Oh, it's popular today. It's real popular. I still get stuff that a year after the election that our previous president's still going to be president. I'm like, yeah, through a civil war, and I don't want a civil war. God wants to move in our midst, church. God wants to do something incredible. I am as concerned about the future as you are, but I want to tell you something. It is not dependent upon what we think's going to happen or what has happened to know what God wants to do for us now. The Seven Mountain Strategy is influencers and media. What has the church done? Well, that's the devil's territory, so we shrink back. We just pull back from anything. The media, government. How many believe God needs godly people in government? But God also wants to influence the ungodly in government to show them that they cannot do these things in their own strength. God wants to move in government. God wants to move in education. People are screaming and yelling about what's being taught. Maybe you should teach at home so that they have principles so that we can then take it into the schools. Now, I do believe kids are mission fields instead of missionaries. Most of the time they are. But the fact is, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. How many can say that happened to me? I might have departed for a while, but yeah, God has a way of getting our attention. Media, government, education, the economy. God wants to move in our economy. How many of you love gas prices right now? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I live in California. It's over $5. Anyway, think about it for a moment. Are you going to complain about what's happening in our economy, or are you going to pray for God to give people wisdom on how to act? And maybe if they aren't acting accordingly, maybe it's because God wants to bring some discipline, and he may bring the discipline through the economy. Isn't that awesome? I want to pray for my city. I want to pray that Fort Collins is a place that is blessed. They are in captivity. These were not kind people. They had just burnt their city to the ground, took stone upon stone and tore them down. They burned the gates. They burned everything about it. The city was absolutely destroyed. As Dr. J said, when they came over that hill and saw the city, it was desolate. There was nothing left. And God tells me to pray for those people. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Ask God to move in people's lives. Our kingdom's not of this world. These principles that God wants to share with us aren't of natural understanding. They're discerned in the Spirit. And the only way we carry them out is not by gritting our teeth and bearing it, but by saying, God, I don't like what's happening. I don't like what's going on. But Lord, you've asked me. You know what he said? I love this. He tells Paul tells Timothy to pray for Nero. He says, so that we can live peaceable lives. He said, in the millennial reign, each person's going to have their own vineyard, and each person's going to have their own place. You know what God's interested in? Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And we know that this planet will never have peace till he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. But the fact is, God wants to bring peace to this planet. He wants us to be agents of peace. When people don't deserve peace, that's when you give them peace. You know, there's a fruit of the Spirit called long suffering. We don't like it. How many love long suffering? Yeah, when it's extended to you, when you've been a jerkwad like I am. But we get to extend long-suffering to people who don't deserve it, because the apple tree doesn't enjoy the apple. The people that pick the apple do. When somebody is in that grocery line being that person, that you're able to extend to them long-suffering. When your neighbor is complaining about the tree bent over their fence again, you get to extend long-suffering, and they probably cut the tree. When it's happening, God gives us the grace to be able to extend to others what we ourselves want extended to us. What about if we, as the church, started extending grace to our city? Grace to our city. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Aren't you glad you've been given grace? What's mercy? Not getting what you do deserve. Let's extend mercy. When people act like pagans, they're pagans. And we're shocked. Your boss is not a Christian. He acts like that. And you go to work tomorrow morning. I can't believe he's acting that way. Why? You acted that way too before you became a Christian. Is it true? How about for family? There's media, government, education, the economy, family. Do you pray for your family? How about your neighbor's family? How about asking God to influence your neighbor and their family? Yeah, but you don't know how messed up they are. Yeah, that's why they need grace extended to them. Then the next one is religion. Do you realize we have a mosque in our city? What would happen if the leader of the mosque had a vision of who Jesus really is, that he's not just a prophet, he's God? What would happen if people begin to pray for other religions and ask God to bring influence? That's a sign. I see the clock. The last gathering, I went a little over because I didn't see the clock. It's their fault. They didn't put a countdown timer for me. You know, if you don't have a countdown timer, I'll just keep going until I quit boring. Religion. Yes, we need to pray for our leaders, our pastors, church leaders. We need to pray for those in authority over us. But the fact is, let's begin to look outside. Maybe you drive by someplace that you know they serve a false religion, a false God. Start praying for influencers in that place to become Christians and start walking where they need to walk. That will impact our city. And then arts and entertainment. It's not that we just got to have pure flicks. It's not, you know, it's not that Christians just have to have control of the media. It's that those in media who have influence will get saved. And that they in turn will touch other lives. We have got it so backwards. So many times the church wants to take over and God says, release it and let me take over. And let me do what I want to do. And then people will come to an understanding. Because it's not about ruling and reigning in this life. It's about ruling and reigning in the next life by ruling and reigning our hearts now. Pray for your governor. I can't pray for that guy, you say. Then you don't understand scripture. If Paul is telling Timothy to pray for Nero, can't we pray for our governor? Pray for our president. Not my president. I'm just like, come on, church. We need to understand scripture. He is your president. If you belong to this nation, he is your president. God is asking us to pray for that man. Pray for our vice president. Pray for Congress. You get what I'm saying? The church is so backwards. We want to curse people and not bless them. We want to curse them. It's easier to curse. It's fleshly to curse. You say, I don't curse. How do you speak? How do we talk? Begin to speak blessing. We need to ask. Ask God. Who are the influencers that he has allowed you to come in contact with? Begin to pray for them. Head of the Homeowners Association is an influencer. Start praying for influencers. Instead of complaining that they made you paint your house a color you didn't want them to paint it. Or you didn't want to paint it. Wouldn't that be interesting if we were blessing? And by the way, maybe God wants you on the Homeowners Association board. Maybe God wants you to seek God that way. The fourth thing. Receive encouragement for your heartfelt need. Why does Paul get the dream and the vision from the Lord that says, don't be afraid? Yeah, if you just got beaten within an inch of your life, if you just got rejected in Athens, I don't know what your heartfelt need is. It may not be that you're afraid right now. It may be something else, but God has released upon you the ability to hear the word of the Lord. He says, are we able to stand in this region? Yes, we are. If we can receive our heartfelt need from the Lord. Don't be afraid, he tells him, to stand and speak. Why? Because he's afraid to stand and speak. What is God saying to you? Are you afraid about the future? Are you concerned for your kids' education? Hear the word of the Lord. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think of, according to the power that works within you. And unto him be glory in the church. That's what God wants to do. The answer to all of your heartfelt needs are this. And it was the answer to Moses when he said, I'm just a stutterer. And God says, what? I am. I will go with you. When Joshua says, I can't fill Moses' sandals. I can't do what he did. God says, I will go with you. The answer to all of our issues is this. The abiding, continual presence of God. To all of our needs. And what I believe God is doing in this region and throughout our nation and around the world during this crazy season we've lived in the last 18 months is this, to show us our solution doesn't come from the East and the West. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's that God wants us to understand the continual abiding presence of the Almighty is with us. And how does that happen? By us getting our information from this book and from His Spirit speaking to us on a daily basis. Because if you don't, I guarantee you'll get your information from another source. And that other source is going to discourage, bring rebuke, and you're going to feel like you're about this small in the light of what's going on. Don't look at the giants. Don't look at their large walls. I love Joshua and Caleb. It says in Scripture they had a different spirit. They didn't deny the reality of what's going on. They didn't say, well, it's not happening. There's some stuff happening I don't like. But the fact is, I am not going to get my information from what the world is telling me. I'm going to get my information from I know who He is, and I know that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day. What's that day? Either I breathe with my last, or He returns and sets His feet down on the Mount of Olives. And I want to tell you something. God's God, and there's nobody else. He always has been, always will be God. Nothing will ever change His mind. He has a plan. And this is not the first pandemic that He has faced. It's not the first time He's heard wars and rumors of wars. It's not the first time that the economy is going on a downward spiral. It's not the first time that we have all been freaked out. God sits in the heavens and laughs at the plans of the evil one. God is with you, church. Don't ever forget it.